The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino. A discussion beyond the headlines with and about newsmakers who impact our lives on AM 870, The Answer.
Coming up on this edition of Sunday Morning Newsmakers, John R. Lott Jr., PhD and President, Crime Prevention Research Center. Former VP Joe Biden, now a Democratic candidate for president, says Congress needs to bring back the ban on assault-style weapons. John Lott reacts to the calls for more gun control and background checks following the recent mass shootings. John Kavitak joins us. He's the California State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. We'll discuss much-needed cleanup legislation on a sweeping privacy bill that could place a huge burden on small business owners. Randy Davis is the police chief of Southgate. He'll be with us. Are police not respected anymore? The footage of people dumping water on New York police officers has a lot of people asking questions. But first, Bill Evers is a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and is a former U.S. Secretary of Education for Policy in the George W. Bush administration. His opinion commentary piece in the Wall Street Journal was titled, California Wants to Teach Your Kids That Capitalism is Racist. Bill, thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
What is this? Capitalism is defined or described as, quote, a form of power and oppression alongside racism and white supremacy and other terms. Take us into this story about California's education department issuing an ethnic studies model curriculum and what it really means for parents.
Well, what you just said about capitalism shows the political bias in this new model curriculum. It's under consideration now. Next month, the State Department of Education is going to vote on this. It's not teacher-friendly. It's filled with impenetrable jargon that's going to drive these teachers crazy. It glorifies violence. I don't think parents or taxpayers are going to like it because it turns schools into training sites for political activists whose only focus is going to be racial identity politics, racial identity ideology.
There's been some thought that those in education for a long time have been those who've been on the left. The leftist movements have taken over education. Is this just another extension of this? And who are these people charged with putting together an ethnic studies model curriculum?
Well, the authors of the curriculum are professors in California universities who teach ethnic studies, and they are K-12 teachers. Obviously, bureaucrats, officials in the State Department of Education have also had a hand in this.
Aside from where they're going politically, you have some fun here with all the different terms that are in this thing. Hybridities?
I can't even pronounce. I think it's going to be hybridities.
Okay.
Yes, they have positionalities. They have cross-disciplinary, but it's spelled instead of the word cross that we would normally say they have an X. They spell history with an X where the I normally is in history. They have Nepenthes, which is an American Indian word from an American Indian tribal language, and it has to, a Nepantla is a kind of time of mixture and confusion that can result in some productive outcome. They have a misogynoir, so it's like misogyny plus the French word for black, noir. So misogyny, of course, is from ancient Greek, and noir is from French. But it's meant to mean some sort of systematic belief of not liking black women. So this is full of it. I mean, we're just scratching the surface here, but this is full of this, and it can't be friendly to parents if they ever look into this. And I think teachers are going to be floundering in this invented language, this newfangled language, this language that's only knowledgeable to college professors, such as cis heteropatriarchy.
But then now take it to more of this message, this texture of what they're trying to add to. There's this kind of thought that American history may, you know, with our founders having had slaves and other things, there's this mood right now by some to discredit the history of this country and to bring other things forward. What are they doing here? You gave that capitalism racist description. What is their argument here on capitalism being racist, and why do they want to teach that to the children?
Well, the authors of this are obviously anti-capitalist. They have an ideological bee in their bonnet, and they want to, you know, leave all the students with the same bee in their bonnet. I think, you know, capitalism is a system of privately owning assets, entrepreneurs taking risks, trying to serve the public with various services and products, and the profit and loss system judges whether, you know, they've been succeeding with the consumers. There's none of this in there. It's all about exploitation, supposedly, and that the people from racial minorities get the worst of this exploitation. And the exploitation is based on Marx's labor theory of value, something that's been discredited since the late 1800s.
Okay, so walk us through, because we don't see this document. Did you get a hold of it? How did you get to kind of delve into
this? It's available to the public on the California Department of Education website. So they're taking public comments, and anybody can read it.
They can read it. So walk us into some of the parts that kind of surprised you. I mean, obviously, that capitalism thing took you aback because you kind of led with that. But there's more.
Right.
There's more examples you cite of the peculiar nature of this document. For those who send their kids off to school, they need to know what's up, what educators want to do if they get their way. What are some other examples?
Well, I mean, I think it glorifies violence. I mean, it has huge sections on the Attica prison uprising in New York decades ago. It has quite a bit on the Black Panther Party. It has, but only the Black Panthers that stayed left-wing, some of them became conservatives, they're left out. It has things on convicted killers of police, such as Mumia al-Jabal, Frantz Fanon, who was a psychiatrist who glorified violence as the way to end colonial status in third world countries. It's just, and as you say, look, America has its figures that did things that were wrong. But primarily, we are really quite an excellent country in terms of the freedoms we have, in terms of the prosperity we have, in terms of all the immigrants and ethnic groups that have been lifted up over the course of our history. There's a new book by Wilfred McCloy called Land of Hope, I think, that really kind of captures the thing that I think ought to come across. It's nothing wrong, especially in senior year of high school or college, and discussing some of the faults, but to only portray the experience of ethnic groups as being suffering and victimization and being put upon and being oppressed. Of course, bad things have happened to American Indians. Bad things happened under Franklin Roosevelt to the Japanese Americans. I don't want to pretend that's not the case, but what about the good things that have happened? They don't seem to be there.
Could you take this beyond the education stage to those in Washington are leading a charge for major change in this country? Isn't it kind of their technique to kind of shoot down as bad our American history, and they want to replace it with a different history?
I do think, you know, I think we should have a fair-minded, honest history, and I think ethnic groups are a major part of it. I think, you know, in the mid-1960s, there was a brilliant book by Nathan Glazer and Daniel Patrick Moynihan called Beyond the Melting Pot that shows that ethnic heritage stays, lasts, and it continues to be part of American society. There's not just a, you know, vanishing of ethnic groups into the melting pot. The traits persist, and it's perfectly reasonable to be studying them. But this is not objective studying. This is creating political activists. This is organizing sit-ins, teach-ins, lie-ins, die-ins. You know, it's turning schools that the taxpayers pay for into staging grounds for political action.
And the document is one thing, but you obviously have to look at the people behind it. Is it a result of the people who've gone into education? I mean, where were the conservatives, the Republicans? How come they're not educators? How come they're not with equal force applying their history to bring this document into balance?
Well, you know, model curriculum like this is set up by a bureaucracy and by political process. So the law that said to create this was passed by, introduced by a legislator who has had a, you know, he's a Latino, but he's had Harvard, UC system education. He's had an elite education. He, it would seem to me, ought to want people of low income, people from historic minorities that have historically had challenges, to climb the ladder of achievement and success and strive for, you know, fulfilling their potential in California. And I would think not be mired in some sense that they can't succeed, that they're only going to be facing impossible repression. What about his own life? So I think it's not a healthy thing for these, for the young students in these ethnic minorities. They have challenges in life, and they should be equipped to succeed in facing these challenges and not be given this depressing an inaccurate account.
And yet, if this document stands as it is,
it really should be thrown out in its entirety. It's so riddled with this jargon and this ideology. I'm sure they'll do some quick fixes and get rid of some of the most egregious things and add in some things. You know, there's nothing really about anti-Semitism in the whole document. I think they'll try and fix some of that, but I think really they should throw it out and start over.
With that, we thank you for your timely comment on a document that could be the blueprint for future studies in California. And as goes California, they say, much of the nation picks it up. You know, the whole textbook stories, they print so many for California that our things make it in. So watch out, everybody. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
AM 870, The Answer.